and pinpoint forecast. Well, we may see some rain this afternoon and evening for your Friday morning clouds. Afternoon rain, highs mid-50s. Saturday, breezy and wet. Rain at times, temperatures in the mid-50s.
Views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome to Insights Talk Radio, with your host, renowned psychic Cindy Evans. Insights is the show for the listener. Not only answering your most pressing questions, it is the show for personal empowerment. With answers to your questions, Cindy gives guidance for your soul. Now is the chance to have your questions answered by giving us a call at 425-373-5527 or toll free if you're in the Western Washington area at 1-888-298-5569. And now, here's your host, Cindy Evans.
And welcome again to Insight. We're very excited today to have our special guest here, Mike Dooley. Mike is a former international tax consultant turned entrepreneur turned writer speaker who's founded a philosophical adventurers club on the internet that's now home to over 78,000 members from over 169 countries. As you may already know, he's recently appeared in The Secret. He is the author of a number of books and the critically acclaimed audio program, Infinite Possibilities, The Art of Living Your Dreams. However, he's perhaps best known for his daily email, Notes from the Universe. Welcome, Mike.
Jambo, Cindy.
Jambo brings me right to the Adventurers Club. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was born about 7 years ago. The idea is to give people on the internet and in the face-to-face meetings around the world that I host the chance to get together with like-minded thinkers, people who perhaps realize there's more to life than we've been told from the old schoolers, that in fact we do create our own reality, that we are eternal, we're divine, and with dominion over all things. And so it's just a little touchstone for people who want to kind of get rejuiced or sign up to get the daily notes from the universe. It's kind of a reminder service of life's magic.
And let me give out the address for that. That's www.tut, T-U-T, as in King Tut, .com. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, yeah. And Jambo, which you greeted me with, means?
Well, it's Swahili, of course, for hello. It's kind of like the Swahili term for aloha. You know, it's the all-purpose greeting, morning, noon, or night. But when I came up with the idea for the Adventurers Club, a philosophical club about the adventure of life, I thought there should be a couple of hooks and things that made it unique. And since I did an African safari a good number of years ago and remember fondly the cheery Jambo that everybody greeted everybody with, tourists and locals alike, I thought it would be the perfect greeting for our club.
That's pretty nice. Well, how did you first get the idea of the Adventurers Club?
Well, I was trying to actually pick up the pieces, well, I thought they were pieces, of a T-shirt company that that I had run with my mother and brother for 10 years, and we had done great things with it and sold all over the world, but in the end, the trends were down. We decided to liquidate before we went down with it, and I had a couple of years to figure out what to do with the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I was a member of Toastmasters, which is, of course, a club to help you, to help people, you know, become comfortable with speaking to audiences. And I was also speaking to a lot of Rotary clubs. And I remember thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great if there was something that kind of functioned like a Rotary club, like a Toastmasters club, started off on the internet, but it would be an opportunity to kind of get together with people of a like mind, like I said, and share stories, share inspiration, and so that was the launching point.
So what might a typical internet interchange between members sound like?
Well, that's still evolving. There's a number of services on the tut.com website. There's a forums where people can, you know, register and talk with one another. They're all free. There's the Tut Village now, which is It's our attempt to move in the direction of a MySpace where everybody can have their own little web page and share about them and what they're interested in, perhaps what they're looking for. But more than that, it's a dating site for people of a like mind, people who think like this. And we've got, I don't know how many, maybe 10,000 people now. It's also a free service. And then I'm doing my second world tour right now. It's not so much, it's primarily a lecture style. I speak for 6 hours, but there's breaks and exercises that punctuate the day, including a kind of a social during the 1 hour preceding the day. So I simply do all my marketing only through my website, through my notes from the universe. I tell people I'm coming to whatever city it is. In fact, I'll be in Seattle probably late summer, early fall. And anywhere from 200 to 300 people show up, and they mingle, and then they hear me lecture. But it's usually kind of an inspiring, spiritual, fun time. And so those are just some of the things we're doing now, and we've got some plans in the future for perhaps actually having local safaris where once a week or once a month people in their own communities get together and know that they're going to be greeted by those who are on the same wavelength.
That is so fine and so necessary. I can't tell you how many listeners have come to me and said, you know, this is great because I've been feeling like I'm all alone out there.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah, so I think this sort of a philosophical matchmaking is a great way to go. It's great to provide a forum for people, as you say, of like mind to be able to get together, discuss things. If romance blossoms, then so much the better. But if not,
exactly,
you've at least spent some quality time talking about stuff that really interests you.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been very fortunate in my life because my mother, brother, and sister especially think along these same exact lines. And so when we have the opportunity to get together, we cannot help but to share excitement and talk about what's possible and where we're going. And you know, there's no second guessing as to how we would get there or the nature of reality or would we be foiled by past life agreements or, you know, some stuff that I think people give away their power to. And I only realized that I was in the minority by having people share that with when I started my forums, et cetera, and I realized, like you did, that there's this huge void out there, and a lot of people feel lonely, although that's changing with The Secret and people waking up to truth.
Yeah, the movie media is a wonderful way to get the word out, so I was delighted to see you on The Secret. Now, how did the folks behind the camera contact you about being on The Secret?
Well, Rhonda Byrne, the producer from Australia, as she says in the book and in the movie, she had gone through a challenging time a couple of years prior to making the movie. And in that challenging time, she inhaled and gobbled up everything she could find on the internet and in the library and the bookstores that spoke about the truths that I speak about. And I was one of the people, unbeknownst to me, who she stumbled across, and she devoured my materials, and she also signed up for my daily notes from the universe, which, like everything at the top website, is free. And to this day, I'm happy to say she's an avid fan and subscriber. And so when she came to the U.S. to begin filming, her and her sister contacted those who were perhaps either inspirational or educational in their own search, and I was on that list. And little did I know what it would turn into, but they offered to bring me up to Chicago, spent 4 hours in front of the camera, as did, I think, near 70 or 80, maybe even 100 people. It was whittled down to the 90 minutes that was used. And then Bob's your uncle.
Then Bob's your uncle. Well, in The Secret, you describe, near the beginning of the movie, the process of The Secret. You discuss visualizing the end result. And as an example, you advise people, look at your hands, you know, really study your hands, the freckles, the nails, everything. Mm-hmm. And then, for example, you say, visualize those hands wrapped around the wheel of the car that you want.
Right.
Yeah, and to feel the joy and the happiness of driving that car. And then you explain that the, you know, to concentrate on the end result
Yeah, that is so, so key, because so many people get tangled up in what I call the cursed hows. And like, how am I going to get there? How am I going to find someone to love me? How am I going to lose weight? How am I going to live in wealth and abundance? And it's not our prerogative to say how. We get to pick the end result. We have total free choice with picking the end result. And then if we simply, you know, once the visualization is done, we go about our life by moving in the general direction of our dreams, the hows will be taken care of for us. This is why, you know, most people probably listening to your program, you know that there's no such thing as accidents, coincidences, serendipities. There's a divine hand in all of our affairs, and that hand is programmed entirely, in my view, by our beliefs, our expectations, our intents, in one word, our thoughts. And so that's why I advocate not only focusing on the end results, but making sure you're in the picture, which is why I did the little hand exercise. You know, it's got to be you.
Oh.
It's not enough to be staring at the glossy brochures or drooling at the house or the people or whatever it is you want in your life or picturing them in your mind's eye with you outside of the picture. It is essential and pretty basic once you hear it. But it's essential that you're in the picture, that you're living the life of your dreams, that you're already there when you close your eyes. You're not trying to get there. You're not hoping that the contract will be signed. You're not visualizing the book deal going through. You're not picking up people in single bars. You're already there. You're already the writer. You're already the broker. You're already the realtor. You're already in love. And when you're imagining in your mind's eye the life of your dreams, it's imperative that we go to the end result of what we want or beyond, always bypassing the cursed hows. Because if you mess with the cursed hows, you carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. And worse than that, you limit an otherwise unlimited universe. It knows everybody on the planet that could be compatible with you. It knows the shortest, quickest way to wealth and abundance. But if you say, no, it's got to be Mary who falls in love with me, and it's got to be this deal that I'm working on now or this book that I'm writing, what about all the other ways you just slam the door on? Mm-hmm. So that's why the extreme importance of going straight to the end result.
Now, what is the title of the book that you wrote describing this?
Well, the offerings I have that describe this, my primary offerings are two audio programs. One's Infinite Possibilities. The other one is Leveraging the Universe and Engaging the Magic. And neither one of them are books yet. The books that I have, I've got three volumes of Notes from the Universe. I've got a book of poems from the T-shirt days, a novelette, I should say, about the origins of time, space, and matter. But where I talk about, you know, engaging the magic and understanding the principle of thoughts becoming things, those are right now exclusively in my audio programs.
Okay.
And in the lectures that I give around the world.
Oh, boy. Well, we will talk a little bit more about that. Believe it or not, it's already time for a break. So people stick around. We'll have some more after the break with Mike Dooley.
When Hunter was first born, she had a stroke on both sides of the brain, and she had uncontrollable seizures.
My name is Hunter. I ate it all.
We were so excited for her to have the wish. We had to really sit down and think of what she really wanted.
My wish is firehouse.
Our whole family have been firefighters all our lives, so this is a chance for Hunter to become a volunteer firefighter also, but it could be in her backyard if she wants it to be.
Sometimes I rebound, play my friends, boys too.
She's a beautiful little girl who loves to play in playhouse and have parties in her playhouse.
Pizza party! I love my firehouse.
There are lots of ways you can help make a child's wish come true. To find out how, visit wish.org.
Share the power of wish.
My lucky day.
Hi, this is Cherry Devine and
Cindy Evans
inviting you to join us every Thursday evening at 8 o'clock for Insights.
Insights is an open hour of communication in which we offer psychic guidance in response to your questions, dedicated to you, the listener, opening up communications to the higher realms.
That's Insights with Cherry Devine and Cindy Evans this Thursday and every Thursday at 8 o'clock right here on 1150 KKNW AM.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Talk radio with a difference. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
To Insights with Cindy Evans, our special guest today is Mr. Mike Dooley, who we know from being on The Secret. And Mike, during the break, I was asking you a little bit about your world tour. Now, you're coming to Seattle in the spring?
No, probably a late summer or fall right late now. The date is not set.
Okay.
I've got a really crazy 3 or 4 months in front of me, and so I only set the date typically for any event a couple of months at the most before I go, and then I make the announcement of the date through my daily notes from the universe.
And I recommend to all of my listeners, do sign up for this daily notes from the universe. Log on to www.tut.com, that like King Tut, and every morning you'll get a very inspiring message from Mike Dooley, who we have seen on The Secret. So you can keep abreast of where he's going to be delivering his lectures. And you say you are having another world tour of your lectures coming up. I mean, not just Seattle, but other places?
Oh, yeah. It's a proper tour. This is my second tour. And like the first tour, every 2 to 3 weeks, I go to another city or two over a Saturday and a Sunday. I usually hit two cities. For instance, I was just in Vancouver on a Saturday all day and then Calgary the next day all day. And then I come home, work and write for a couple of weeks, then I go back out. And that lasts for about a year and a half. And it includes Europe, Australia, South Africa, all over North America, Hawaii. And it's a great time. It's a six-hour, primarily, it's a lecture. I've got a lot of material. I've got stuff to say. And this one's titled Manifesting Change, It Couldn't Be Easier. And I go through the mechanics of manifestation. I go through the two steps that are incumbent upon all of us to take to make change or to bring about whatever it is we'd like to bring about in our lives. And when I'm not lecturing during those 6 hours, there's about 6 or 7 exercises that people do either privately or shared, depending on their preference. And then there's usually mingling done an hour before, an hour during lunch, and often afterwards. So people do get a chance to meet one another and exchange business cards and share stories. But first and foremost, it is a lecture.
So another good opportunity for like-minded folks to get together and just...
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
...talk about things. Now, if I could, you mentioned two steps that are important.
Yeah.
Is that something you can talk to us a little bit about now, or do we need
to... Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay.
Actually, I should preface that. I think nobody really kind of goes here. It's not that profound, although it's profoundly important in a sense. It's not that amazing, but it's profoundly important. Before you begin any of the steps, because everybody's got the 2 steps, the 5 steps, the 7 steps, there needs to be a grounding in understanding the nature of reality. It's no good to know that thoughts become things and visualization works and there's a law of attraction if you don't truly understand, in my view, that we are eternal, we are divine, we are the authors of the universe. The sun rises every single day for us. We put it there, in so many words. We are the eyes and ears of the divine. Sure, the divine is more than we are, but we are pure divinity living in the jungles, in a playful way, of time and space because we chose to. And so this is kind of the root assumption that makes everything else I say make even more sense. Although, if somebody's not on the same page, they could still perhaps benefit from the 2 steps that bring about change. Number one is defining what it is you want in terms of the end result. And in this step, generally, I advocate speaking or defining it in broad brush strokes, not getting into the details. Okay, so defining it preferably in terms of the emotion you're after, because the only way the emotion can be brought back to you on the plane of manifestation is through a rearrangement of the props and players and circumstances of your life. So I focus, or I advocate focusing on the joy you'd wish to have, because that implies abundance, that implies the relationship harmony, that implies good physical health and an appearance you're proud of. And then once it's defined, if you wanted to take that into visualization, to kind of expand on this step, visualizing once a day, which I strongly recommend, then you could get into the details of the consequences you'd be experiencing with your dream having already come true.
The details of the consequences. That sounds interesting.
The details of the consequences as opposed to the details of the hows. So again, we're going to the end result. And let's say it's wealth and abundance somebody wants to live in. Well, if you had your wealth and abundance already, what would be the consequences? What would your life be like? And that's what you visualize. Then you can put in the car, or you can put in the house, or you can put in whatever else would go along with wealth and abundance. And that's when you can go crazy on the details. But step one is first defining the area you want to affect change in broad terms, you know, whether it's abundance or appearance, meaning losing weight or gaining weight, or creative, fulfilling work. So the process starts out there generally. Then when you take it to visualization, we're still in step one, then you go into the details of the consequences. And then step two, and it's so important to understand this, and it's simple, it's always simple, truth is always simple. Step two is physically moving in the general direction of your dreams. This is so important. It is not enough to be excited for having watched The Secret. It's not enough to be excited about finally discovering truth, by knowing that you're the gladiator of time and space, by knowing that all things are possible for you. That excitement's not enough to change your life. You know, it wouldn't be enough if Ted Turner gave you his, you know, 150-foot sailing yacht and said, go anywhere you want in the world. If you and your friends got your Cheetos and Doritos and DVDs and got excited about the trip down below in the berth, you know, you wouldn't go anywhere. It's incumbent upon us to physically take action in the direction of our dreams. The good news is the action can be so simple. I mean, in the sailing example, you know, you got to untie the boat. You got to turn on the putt-putt engine. You got to get out of the harbor. You got to hoist up the sails. Then the magical winds of the universe can fill your sails. But the winds can't fill your sails if you're just back in the harbor getting excited about the trip. You know, the universe and the magic, life's magic, cannot reach you if you're not physically out dancing in the world, if you will. And the way you physically dance is you follow your heart and you do what you most want to do. You work with what you have and you begin with where you are. And other people might call this the baby steps. And there are people who don't want to take the baby steps because they feel like, well, that's settling for less, you know. That's not champagne and caviar. That's not the life of my dreams. And so they don't do anything. They're paralyzed with fear on the sidelines. And they're not putting themselves out there in the world where the accidents, so-called accidents, coincidences, and serendipities can be unleashed upon them. So step two is moving in the general direction of your dreams. Step three is handled entirely by the universe. We don't have to even go to step three. And this is when the universe fills our sails. This is when the universe rearranges the players and circumstances of our lives as if they were puppets on marionette strings, predisposing us to accidents, coincidences, and serendipities that will yield the manifestation we had been thinking about.
Okay, let me bring this to us, kind of a solid example, just like you did with the sailing example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that a person wants to have their mortgage paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now is that, first of all, is that a broad enough stroke?
Nope, not in my opinion.
Oh, okay.
What they really want is they want to live in wealth and abundance. They want to have abundance. They want the freedom that, you know, financial reserve will give them. So I would say, okay, step one, defining the end result is financial freedom, okay? So the consequences of that, well, the mortgage would be paid off. The kids would go to school for free. The car note would be paid off. There'd be ample resources to give to your favorite charities, maybe to get involved in some of the charities. Those are the consequences. None of those are necessarily the be-all and end-all. If we focus, though, on those as a be-all and end-all, it's almost like a how. You know, I want my mortgage paid off so that I can then live in abundance. It's like, no, don't mess with the house. Not that you couldn't visualize your mortgage being paid off kind of thing, but don't make it the end-all and be-all, because the bigger thing that you want is what's more important to you, living in financial freedom or wealth and abundance or however you want to phrase it. So that's what you dwell on. And when you get to the visualization, one of the consequences, not the end-all be-all, is paying off your mortgage. So you could then visualize, among other things, paying off your mortgage. But you're not going to get strung out over, I got to get this mortgage paid off. Then you're stressing, you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. You're making one thing so important to perhaps the exclusion of other vitally important things. And it's not that wise.
Okay. I appreciate you defining broad strokes, because I wasn't quite clear on that.
It's tricky, and if you don't mind me interrupting, sorry, it's tricky because I know a lot of people will get tripped on this. I'm not saying don't visualize paying off the mortgage. I'm not saying don't visualize the red Ferrari, if that's what floats your boat. I'm saying visualize it in the context of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So these are going to be consequences to abundance, and that way you're not sweating on one thing and using that, your success or lack thereof, as an indicator of whether or not you're good at this. You are good at this. You're a natural-born matter manipulator. We all are. Just don't make these little assignments so important when the bigger picture is far more important, and the bigger picture will take care of these little things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now the thing is, I like your second step about actually doing something about it.
Yes.
Because I have run across philosophies of, well, then if you actually do something about it, then you're not leaving it up to universe. But I
That's a great point there.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, and this is another really fine line, and this is what I go into a great deal when I have 6 hours, but the question that comes up, and it would be raised by someone who just heard both schools of thinking here, would be, well, Mike, if I'm not supposed to mess with the cursed house, mm-hmm. aren't I getting in my way? Aren't I messing with them if I follow step two and I move in the general direction of my dreams? Isn't this messing with the cursed house? Mm-hmm. And usually they draw a conclusion on their own that it is, and they're paralyzed on the sidelines waiting for their dreams to come true, and they don't come true when you're waiting. You need to be physically moving. So the distinction is this. It's not so much what you do, but it's how you view what you do. If you view what you're doing as how you're going to make your dreams come true, well, then you're messing with the cursed house. You're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, and where is there room for the universe and life's magic to come to your aid if you're handling the whole thing yourself? So you're not the home run hitter. You're the pitcher. You're the pitcher, and the universe, life's magic, is the home run hitter. You don't know which ball you're going to pitch that the universe is going to smack out of the park, but because you know to take action, continuous action. You're always moving in the direction of your dreams. I phrase it like, you knock on every door, you turn over every stone. Not in an overtime sense, not working 7 days a week, but just in the normal time that you ought to work or whatever it is you're doing. Then you're pitching the ball to the universe. Then you can do the same things that somebody who doesn't know about this stuff does. You know, you can do the cold calls. You can do the networking. You can, follow all the same steps that your peers do. Join Rotary Club, join Toastmasters, but you can do it with a glad heart. You can do it without carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. Take, for instance, two people who join the same Rotary Club. One's messing with a cursed house. They're trying to hit the home run. The other one's pitching balls to the universe. The one who's messing with the cursed house is going to be frenetically looking for the big shots. Who are they going to sell the house to? Whose listing are they going to get? Who's the president? Who's making the most money? Who are they going to sit with at lunch? You know, they're sweating the details, and they're hating joining the Rotary Club. It's work to them. The other person who's pitching the balls to the universe realizes that just by joining the Rotary Club, just by going out every week, they're giving the universe umpteen more possibilities to reach them. And so they can go and enjoy, and they can sit with whoever they want to sit with. They can have a good conversation. Chances are there's going to be 10 people at the table. The universe will put the right people on their path at the right time if they can move through life with a joyful heart and not be trying to swat the ball out of the park. And if it doesn't happen at the Rotary Club, so what? You had a good time, and you're doing other things as well. You're doing the networking, the cold calling, the leads group, or whatever else is done in your industry. But all of it you can do now with a glad heart, knowing that you're not alone. And this way, there's a distinction between the cursed house and moving in the direction of your dreams. It can be the same exact thing that somebody is messing with the cursed house with. You're doing the same thing, but you're viewing it and therefore handling it in a totally different way. And then they're no longer the cursed house.
We are talking this evening with Mike Dooley, author and entrepreneur and teacher on The Secret. We will be back after these messages.
Today in America, one in six children lives in poverty. One in eight Americans can't afford a decent place to live. One in 10 families battles hunger and hardship. Today in America, 37 million people live in poverty. Your neighbors and mine are working and still can't make ends meet. They're choosing between food, medicine, and a roof over their heads. But the picture can change. In one neighborhood after another, people are working together to lift themselves and each other out of poverty for good. In the inner city, they're teaching young people the job skills they need to earn a living wage. Farmers are starting cooperatives to earn better prices and save their farms. Community volunteers walk kids to school to protect them from violence. All across America, people are working together to change the picture of poverty to one of hope. There are easy ways you can help. Find out more at povertyusa.org. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Life presents many questions, like how can I achieve my dreams? What does the future hold for me? What's the best food to give my animal friends? Alternative Talk 1150 AM invites you to explore the answers to these questions and more. Tune in to the Dr. Pat Show weekdays at 11 AM and hear her award-winning show all about living life to its fullest. Listen to and call into Insights Thursdays at 8 PM featuring intuitive Cindy Evans for their take on what your future might hold. And hear Martha Norwalk's Animal World for advice on animal care Sundays at 9 a.m., all right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Listen, dude, I'm 21 years old, and I'm already $150,000 in debt from gambling online. Blackjack, hold'em, slots, even how long what's-your-name's gonna be married. No college for me, dude. I filed for bankruptcy. I'm not in school anymore. My life sucks.
It's your paycheck, Pat. Know the signs. Get help. Call the Problem Gambling Helpline at 1-800-547-6133. That's 1-800-547-6133. Brought to you by the Washington Department of Social and Health Services.
Click the show's page on 1150kknw.com for the scoop on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. We are talking this evening with Mike Dooley. And Mike is the author of an acclaimed audio program called Infinite Possibilities, The Art of Living Your Dream. He's probably best known for his daily email, Notes from the Universe. And we have all seen him on The Secret. Mike, welcome back. Thank you for joining us this evening.
I wanted
to follow up a little bit on your audio program, Infinite Possibilities, The Art of Living Your Dreams. Can you give us some more tips from that?
Well, sure. That's my probably most significant offering. It's 12 hours long, and it really lays down the fundamentals of reality. What I was talking about a little earlier, the foundation of understanding that we are divine, that we are eternal. I talk about my journey, my discoveries. I share in all my work that I'm still the student as well as the teacher, and I'm here with my own set of ambitions and perhaps challenges, or better phrased, adventures, etc. So Infinite Possibilities is where I really talk about thoughts becoming things. That's my view of the law of attraction. I don't use the phraseology so much because for me it kind of came about organically and through my own deductive reasoning and spontaneous illumination. And it's my view that thoughts becoming things is literally an as yet undiscovered principle alive and well in time and space. It is the end all and be all of living the life of our dreams, of manifesting change, of enjoying the journey, of discovering joy, of finding love. It's it. Our thoughts do strive to become the things and events of our lives. It's the law. It's as predictable as gravity. And it's, if you will, I think it's what enables or makes possible the law of attraction. Because thoughts becoming things is rather literal. You know, you think something and then presto, you have it. Well, that doesn't happen in a continuum that's got momentum like ours. You know, we're not in the twilight zone. We're not having a dream right now where we could think gold coins in the palm of our hand and from the ether they would be there, literally. That's thoughts becoming things, literally. Because we live in this continuum that's got this momentum and it's shared by many, many others, instead of manifesting gold coins out of the ether, something every bit as startling happens. As we hold that vision and we move through our affairs and move in the direction of our dreams, the right people, the right times, the right coordinates are all orchestrated so that literally somebody will put those coins in your hand, either as a gift or as a transaction or something else. And this process of it happening, thoughts becoming things, happening in a continuum that already has momentum, might then be referred to as attraction. We would attract the coins or the people or the ideas or the creativity to ourselves, just as we would repel the things that we don't give focus to. So thoughts becoming things is what empowers or enables, in my view, this law of attraction. And it's so imperative, I couldn't underline that enough, that folks understand that this is what makes time and space work. Because with those three words, we immediately see where we fit into the picture. We choose our thoughts every second of the day. And once those thoughts are thunk, and that is a word, by the way.
Oh.
Once those thoughts are thunk, they're on a mission. Just as gravity continually presses us to the earth, our thoughts strive to become the things and events of our lives. Now, the two things that people will say to me, Mike, you're comparing it to gravity. What about those thoughts of ours that have never seen the light of day? Easy. We never just think one thought. We never just want one thing. Our thoughts are sometimes number in the tens of thousands per day. Whenever we're thinking that many thoughts, there's always the possibility, if not the likelihood, that some of our thoughts will contradict one another.
Mm-hmm.
So just because we don't get what we most want sometimes doesn't mean we didn't get what we were thinking about. Mm-hmm. We always get what we were thinking about. The second objection people will toss at me is, well, you know, what about those things that have happened in all of our lives, you know, good, bad, or ugly, that we never thought about ahead of time? Mike Dooley, if thoughts becoming things is as predictable as gravity, they'll ask, whose thoughts were those?
Uh-huh.
And again, the explanation is ridiculously simple. Whenever we want to affect a change in our life, and therefore we're starting to think new thoughts, the only way life's magic can get us there is very often to draw us through, quote-unquote, unthought-of territory, which does not imply that anything could happen on these journeys. Anything that did happen on the journey would be predicated based on all of our other countless thoughts, beliefs, expectations. To make this simpler to see, I live in Orlando, Florida. Point A. I like to take weekends off sometimes in South Beach, Miami, you know, 4-hour drive away. Point B, that's the place I'm thinking about. You know, I want to affect a change in my life. I'm starting with the coordinates in time and space of A, my home, Orlando, Florida. Coordinates B, the end result, Miami, is what I'm thinking about. The only way life's magic can get me to Miami right now until I'm teleporting myself is through a journey in my car or on a plane. Yet the things that could happen on that journey, you know, the rest areas, the smiling faces I'll pass or the frowning faces I'll see, the detours, etc., all of those things are necessary in my journey to get me to the end result that I was thinking about, Miami. So I say in life, whenever, this is heavy, whenever the unexpected happens, it is always, and I use that word so sparingly because it's so unforgiving, it is always a stepping stone in a journey to a place that we have been thinking about. Always. Again, whenever the unexpected happens or the unthought of happens, it's because just beyond it, there's a place or a destination that we have been thinking about. And a lot of people have unhappy destinations. You know, life is hard, people are mean, you know, and so not only are they going to arrive at that place, but the journey along the way is going to be really bumpy, and they're going to be like, well, I didn't think of this, and why did this happen to me? It's like, you know, the whole overall attitude thing. Remember I said emotion or that feeling of either good or bad will draw us to experiences that will yield that, and those emotions are the true end results. Then we get in. I'm really rambling here on you.
I'm depending on it.
Okay, well, then we get into a territory where somebody will say, you know, what about a child who can't think for themselves, and what about these things? To answer a question like that is easy, number one. But I have to take people way out of the box, way out of their, well, for many people, it's way out of their comfort zone, you know. For instance, I mean, I'm even reluctant to do it now, but, you know, these are the opinions of Mike Dooley only, reincarnation. If you can go there and you can fathom that that's a possibility, and further, if you give it a lot of thought, it becomes an obvious fact of life, according to Mike Dooley, then you can all of a sudden see that there are other thoughts of ours that pre-existed before our life. This is how we chose our lives. I think a lot of people are comfortable or getting comfortable with the idea that they chose to be here, but they don't give a lot of thought to, you know, what the parameters were before they got here, why they may have chose this life. Nothing's predetermined, but we do pick the stage that we're going to be born onto, and the stage has likelihoods. It has probabilities. Just because all things are possible doesn't mean all things are equally likely. I'm not about to start talking Swahili, although it's possible right now. All kind of thing. And the same likelihoods exist for all of our lives and our choices. Again, we're not set into any destiny this way, but the stage is set. Our parents are chosen, the time, the century, the country, etc. And when you realize there's many, many lives, then all of a sudden, the horror of child abuse, it's hard to even say this without having hours to hit every angle of objections, but the horrors of child abuse become less horrible when you risk nobody died, perhaps in an instance, that life is eternal, that they knew perhaps what they were getting into before they chose that life, and to give you a possible, you know, people must be going, oh my God, right now, to give you a possible scenario, what if somebody wanted to choose a life where they could reach out to someone who was so lost in fear that rage was their only salvation, they thought. And they loved this person so much before they chose their life, they willingly chose that life as their child because they knew that there would be this incredible rapport. And perhaps this person lost in fear and rage would begin waking up. Although they knew that the stage showed a possibility, maybe even a probability, that the rage would be directed towards them. But should it be directed towards them and they harm the one thing they love more than anything else, they might understand, this person lost in fear and rage, they might understand better than any of their other misguided, lost, fearful lives, the folly of rage, the folly of anger, the folly of violence. And with that recognition for having hurt their beloved, they might then begin a healing that could not have otherwise begun. And so somebody might choose to be born onto a stage that to us, particularly with a belief that we only have one life, would just seem atrocious and heinous and awful. To them, with the way outside of the box perspectives, love would be the motivation, healing would be the purpose, and much good could perhaps be accomplished. And if you also believe that life is eternal, no life would be lost. Now, I tried to cover a lot of bases in 4 minutes there, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I guess what I would like to say more than anything is that all of these perplexing instances in life that leave us scratching our heads or frowning or crying can be explained and can be understood if you stand far enough out of the picture, you understand we're divine, you understand some of these other fundamentals that I've been expressing. So there are answers. We don't have to just wring our hands and cry softly to ourselves. There is a perfection and a magic, and if you stand far enough back from any scene, there's even a beauty.
I know exactly what you mean. The perspective of reincarnation and eternal life and choosing our circumstances can definitely lead you to ponder just these very things. Mm-hmm. Stick around, people. We are going to be back in a couple of minutes with Mike Dooley.
The power's out, but you've planned ahead and your food safety plan is on. You've stocked up on shelf-stable foods and a can opener in case you're in the dark for a while. You don't open the fridge. Food's there will be safe for up to 4 hours if the door stays closed. You keep the freezer shut, too, and you've kept it full. A full freezer will keep food frozen for about 2 days. A half-full freezer, about 1 day. For longer outages, you move cold foods to an insulated cooler with plenty of ice or freezer gels. And you use a thermometer to ensure foods remain no higher than 40 degrees Fahrenheit. If the power returns quickly, you make sure freezer foods have ice crystals. And check foods in the refrigerator with a food thermometer to make sure they're at 40 degrees or below. If not, or if there's any doubt, throw it out. To learn more, go to www.fsis.usda.gov. Click on Ask a Food Safety Question or call the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Meat and Poultry Hotline at 1-888-MP-HOTLINE.
Life presents many questions, like how can I achieve my dreams? What does the future hold for me? What's the best food to give my animal friends? Alternative Talk 1150 AM invites you to explore the answers to these questions and more. Tune in to the Dr. Pat Show weekdays at 11 AM and hear her award-winning show all about living life to its fullest. Listen to and call into Insights Thursdays at 8 p.m. featuring intuitive Cindy Evans for their take on what your future might hold. And hear Martha Norwalk's Animal World for advice on animal care Sundays at 9 a.m. All right here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
Right now, children are suffering from a disease that's decreasing their ability to learn and slowly breaking down their immune systems. A disease that's affecting over 12 million children. A disease that's totally curable. It's called hunger. Second Harvest is America's food bank network, bringing hunger relief to your community, making sure that hunger has a cure.
A public service message brought to you by Second Harvest and the Ad Council.
This station is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to Insights with Cindy Evans. Our special guest this evening is Mike Dooley. Mike is a former international tax consultant turned entrepreneur turned writer-speaker who's founded a philosophical adventures club on the internet that's now home to over 78,000 members from over 169 countries. And we also know him from The Secret. And he also has a critically acclaimed audio program called Infinite Possibilities, The Art of Living Your Dream. And he is best known for his daily email, Notes from the Universe, which I recommend to all of our listeners to sign up for. It is free. And you just log on to www.tut.com. Tut as in King Tut. Mike, welcome back. I want to talk a little bit more about the infinite possibilities and the art of living your dreams. What more can you tell us, what more advice can you give us about how we can live our dreams?
Well, that program goes through so many steps. The first hour is on thoughts becoming things. The second hour is on our beliefs. And that's a tricky area for a lot of people. And sadly, I see so many people feel frustrated with not making change in their life. And they automatically conclude something's wrong with them. It must be an invisible, self-sabotaging, limiting belief, you know? And then they go on a wild goose chase looking for this belief, which may not have been there anyway. I have to admit, most of our beliefs are completely invisible. But because we're on the plane of manifestation, no matter what it is you're intent on finding and that you're taking action towards, you're going to get it, whether it's a new relationship or abundance or looking for or finding what's wrong with you. So these people who go on a wild goose chase for what's, you know, they want abundance, they don't have abundance, they think it must be a belief. What is the belief? Look, if you look hard enough, you're going to find something wrong with you. You'll make it up. You'll draw it out of the ether to you. People will say to me, well, I don't have it, and it must be because I don't believe I'm worthy. My parents didn't think they were worthy, now I don't think I'm worthy. Well, it's like, that might not be it at all. You know, it might have been your priorities. It might have been something else. But now that you're claiming this, or perhaps you've searched for it and then claimed it, it's going to take you perhaps years to undo it, and it maybe not have been the cause to begin with. So beliefs are indeed almighty. But the reason they're almighty is because of this principle, thoughts becoming things. Our beliefs allow us to think along certain lines, or they stop us cold in our tracks from thinking along certain lines. But because they have power through thoughts becoming things, this tips us off that there's another way to approach working with your beliefs. what I enumerate is don't go looking for what's wrong with you. Don't go looking for these invisible, limiting, self-sabotaging beliefs that may not even be there anyway. Instead, define what it is you want. Again, the end result. If it's wealth and abundance, because that's a big thing for a lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with that. If it's wealth and abundance, then I advocate making a list of all of the beliefs that would serve you, or perhaps all of the beliefs that you would already have if you were surrounded in wealth and abundance. So now we're not looking for invisible beliefs. We're saying, you know, what does somebody believe if they're already surrounded in wealth and abundance? Well, that's easy. Well, they believe they're worthy. You know, we don't have to even claim it at this stage. We'll just write them down. You believe that you're worthy. You perhaps believe that there's enough for everyone. You perhaps believe that it's easy to get. You believe that you having yours doesn't have to come at the expense of somebody else having theirs, because there's enough for everyone. And you just make this list as long as you can, and you can rattle off things. You could just, you know, I'm a being of light. I'm loved by God. All of these things would be great beliefs that somebody would very likely have who was surrounded in wealth and abundance, who created wealth and abundance for themselves. Once you've enumerated all these beliefs, we can then go about installing them. And the way you install them, very simple, you simply act as if they were yours. Every day, or at least several times a week, make some token gesture, some physical demonstration that implies either an inevitable belief that your dreams are about to come true, or even better, something that demonstrates a belief that your dreams have already come true. Act the part. And once you start doing this, once your inner witness, or AKA the universe, starts seeing this new behavior, again, action is critical here. This is moving. This is doing stuff, not just waiting for your dreams to come true. Once your inner witness sees this new behavior, the old beliefs that perhaps you possessed that didn't serve you no longer make sense. You don't even have to know what they were, if they even existed. But if they were there, invisible as they are, they start falling away because they no longer make sense in light of your new behavior. Because this is persistent behavior coupled with, ideally, visualization once a day for 5 or 10 minutes, no more, just leave it at that. When all of this starts happening, you start behaving a new way, these beliefs become yours. Then you start seeing evidence of it in the littlest ways, whether somebody gives you something or a compliment or a gift, and then you see more evidence of it, then your focus naturally and automatically and effortlessly shifts. And the next thing you know, you're dancing with these new illusions, and all of your actions are in line with those beliefs you enumerated, and anything that clung to you for life, any limiting belief that clung to you for life, is gone without having to have discovered it. I say that, you know, the only thing, I think I said this earlier, the only thing between us today, our lives right now, and the life of our dreams are the thoughts we think between now and then. It doesn't matter what you used to believe, what you used to think. Don't worry about, did you sabotage yourself with old school thinking when you were raised? You know, people come to me all the time, but what about all that programming I received, you know, from limited thinkers or old school thinkers who just didn't know any better? Don't worry about it. You know what to think from here on out. You know what to say. Say things that serve you. You know, my life is easy. I'm surrounded by abundance. I've never had so many friends. And then act in some token way as if these were your reality. And it's the law. It will become your reality. And it really, really is simple. It's easy.
So playing devil's advocate for a minute, mm-hmm. suppose sticking with the financial freedom that we were talking about earlier, suppose someone says, in that case, you should buy expensive clothes even though it's way out of your budget.
That happens a lot. I know a lot of people who rack up credit card debt in the name of faith. And that is, you know, I just lay it down right away. I always usually say, you know, spending money you do not have is not spiritual. Could it work? Well, you know, yeah, it's an act of faith. But so could window shopping. So could going through a catalog as if you were about to place that call and tallying up your order and, you know, acting the part. So is, here's another example. A lady and people who've read the book, The Secret, may have heard it. When I was speaking in Brisbane, Australia, 3 years ago, there was a lady at one of the dinners I hosted who was talking about her acts of faith. Now, this is not abundance, but it shows how we can be playful. And she was telling me she wanted a new relationship. She'd been single for a long time. And in addition to visualizing the end result, basically kind of a faceless person, because you don't want to tell the universe who it is. So, you know, you can imagine yourself walking on the beach, holding hands and laughing and having, you know, shows to go see together and planning vacations together without putting a person's face in it. But in addition to that, she took some action. She did some acts of faith. She was parking in a two-car garage, her car in the middle, junk on either side, cleaned it out, and started parking on her side, leaving room for him. Uh-huh. She started sleeping on her side of the king-size bed instead of the middle, leaving room for him.
Yeah.
She cleaned out one of the two master bedroom closets, making room for his stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was a great story because she was telling it to me with him sitting beside her. They had met a couple of months earlier. When I went to record the studio version of Leveraging the Universe, I asked her if I could use the story, and she said, yes, by all means, and we're engaged. And then about 8 months ago, Rhonda Byrne from The Secret called and said, you know, I liked the story you told in Leveraging the Universe, Engaging the Magic, about the lady. Could I use it? And I said, well, let me check. And so I checked, and again, she's like, oh, by all means, use it. And guess what? We're married. Mm-hmm. And so it's got a wonderful, you know,
a happy ending. Well,
happy ending. I don't want to call it an ending, but it's a happy journey. And that's just a great illustration of how you can act and pretend and prepare the way for your dreams. And when it comes to abundance, you know, you should definitely indulge when you can afford it. You know, if you're saving for a rainy day and that's all you do, I mean, that doesn't speak very well about your belief in abundance coming towards you. It says the opposite. So if you've got money, do enjoy it. Live your dreams to any degree you can, starting now. You know, if you've always wanted to go to Africa and you can afford it, but you just haven't done it, what's the deal? Go, you know. Mm-hmm. Live your dreams now to any degree that you can. If you don't have money, if you have little money, you can do little splurges. Instead of the cheapest generic sugar, buy the expensive sugar, you know. Make little tokens like that. If you had absolutely no money, well, then none of that's an option. You'd go to the window shopping, and or another thing you can turn to, which is super powerful, is gratitude. Giving gratitude for what you do have, because everybody has something, whether it's the shirt on their back or two eyes that see or two legs that walk them around, and this will get your focus off of the lack. And
I'm sorry, Mike, I need to interrupt. Only, I don't want to, but we are running out of time.
Where does it go?
I know, isn't that amazing? And speaking of gratitude, we are very grateful to have you on this past hour. Mike Dooley, yes, let me recommend to everybody, log on to www.tut.com to find out more about Mike. And have a good rest of the evening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.